Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tell me then, when way back in the 50s, when you got interested in, when you were interested in the Indians' fishing rights, before it was fashionable to be so, what triggered that?
I read a book called Indians of the Americas. And I, after reading the book, realized that I knew nothing about the American Indian and that everything that we are taught about the American Indian is wrong. It's inaccurate. And our school books are hopelessly lacking, perhaps criminally lacking, in revealing what our relationship was with the Indian. When we hear, as we've heard throughout all our lives, no matter how old we are, that we are a country that stands for freedom, for rightness, for justice, for everyone, it simply doesn't apply to those who are not white. It just simply doesn't apply. And we were the most rapacious, aggressive, destructive, torturing, monstrous people who swept from one coast to the other, murdering and causing mayhem among the Indians. There's one Indian in there. But that isn't revealed, because we don't like that image of ourselves. We don't like to see us. We like to see ourselves as perhaps John Wayne sees us. And and also what we've learned about the Indians has been largely taught to us by Hollywood and by motion pictures. They have educated us. So we naturally believe that when the Indians came, that the wagon circled and the Indians rode around and subjected themselves to terrible fire and died at a ratio of 65 to 1.
Both barrels of a shotgun would always get two Indians.
Yeah, and that wasn't the way it was at all. But anyway, Indians have been tragically misrepresented in films and in our history books, in our attitudes, in our reporting. And so we must set about to re-educate ourselves. Who are you looking at?
You.
Oh,
no, there's a message coming. But
oh, okay.
One thing I wanted to get into on that, too, was the subject of not only how the Indians treated on the screen, but off the screen. I know a guy who was in it.
Let me say another thing. At a time when we say, especially, that we are going to keep our treaties and that we do keep our word and that we, above all people, do keep our word, I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. Means broken or changed or altered.
No exceptions. And the Indians howl with laughter, I guess, when they hear a public figure like a president saying other nations will laugh at us if we don't honor our treaty commitments.
Oh, yeah.
When they can think of 400 and, I don't know what the exact figure is, 31 examples of how we haven't in the past, and this would only be the 432nd case of it if we didn't. But I do go on. But we have a message. We'll be right back. Okay. Tell me then, when way back in the 50s, when you got interested in, when you were interested in the Indians' fishing rights, before it was fashionable to be so, what triggered that?
I read a book called Indians of the Americas. And I, after reading the book, realized that I knew nothing about the American Indian and that everything that we are taught about the American Indian is wrong. It's inaccurate. And our school books are hopelessly lacking, perhaps criminally lacking, in revealing what our relationship was with the Indian. When we hear, as we've heard throughout all our lives, no matter how old we are, that we are a country that stands for freedom, for rightness, for justice, for everyone, it simply doesn't apply to those who are not white. It just simply doesn't apply. And we were the most rapacious, aggressive, destructive, torturing, monstrous people who swept from one coast to the other, murdering and causing mayhem among the Indians. There's one Indian in there. But that isn't revealed, because we don't like that image of ourselves. We don't like to see us. We like to see ourselves as perhaps John Wayne sees us. And that, and also what we've learned about the Indians has been largely taught to us by Hollywood and by motion pictures. They have educated us. So we naturally believe that when the Indians came, that the wagon circled and the Indians rode around and subjected themselves to terrible fire and died at a ratio of 65 to 1.
Both barrels of a shotgun would always get two Indians.
Yeah, and that wasn't the way it was at all. But anyway, Indians have been tragically misrepresented in films. And in our history books, in our attitudes, in our reporting. And so we must set about to re-educate ourselves. Who are you looking at?
You.
Oh,
no, there's a message coming. But,
oh, okay.
One thing I wanted to get into on that, too, was the subject of not only how the Indians treated on the screen, but off the screen. I know
Let me tell you another thing. At a time when we say, especially, that we are going to keep our treaties and that we do keep our word and that we, above all people, do keep our word. I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
No exceptions. And the Indians howl with laughter, I guess, when they hear a public figure like a president saying other nations will laugh at us if we don't honor our treaty commitments.
Oh, yeah.
When they can think of 400 and, I don't know what the exact figure is, 31 examples of how we haven't in the past, and this would only be the 432nd case of it if we didn't. But I do go on. But we have a message. We'll be right back.
Aborigine, which means what? Black folks. You never find a white aborigine. Aborigines are called natives, or they're always dark-skinned people. You and I are aborigines, but you don't let them be called aborigines.
The Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Give me this water.
Give me the water.
That I thirst not.
Yes.
Neither come hither to draw.
Go ahead.
That's right.
16.
Yeah.
Yahuwah's son said unto her.
And Yahuwah's son said unto her.
Go call your husband.
Go call thy husband.
That's right.
And come here.
And come back.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say?
17.
Yeah, what'd you say?
The woman answered and said, I have no husband.
The woman said, I ain't got no husband.
Yahuwah, the son said unto her,
what?
Thou hast well said.
What?
I have no husband.
You ain't got no business. You're well said. Your folk are real fast. What did Yahuwah say after that?
Okay.
Well, read the verse.
Okay, verse 18. For thou hast had five husbands.
He said, no, you don't have five husbands. Come on, you ain't got no husbands. He said, woman, you don't have five husbands. Go ahead and read.
And he whom thou now hast.
And the guy that the old hive out of the tree or whatever.
Is not yours.
So y'all got no problem doing what when y'all over your life?
Correcting you.
Yeah. But he didn't correct the guy that said, I ain't never been in bondage to nobody. Mm-hmm. So why didn't he correct him? Because he was telling the truth. He was telling the truth. We ain't never been in bondage to nobody.
That's right. We ain't.
So that could not have been Israel. Because Israel just came out of bondage.
That's
right.
He won't let them out of bondage. Mm-hmm. How you can tell anybody you've never been in bondage, I'm the one to let you out with a strong hand. You know I got to whoop you behind that saying that. How could you say that? How could Israel say they never been in bondage? Then he said we cried to Yahweh and he heard us and he made his move.
Yeah.
So how else now they got amnesia about being in bondage? Unless they was never in bondage. Unless it's a song that belongs to Abraham that was never in bondage.
Yeah, that
and who was that song that was never in bondage?
Ishmael.
Now look at that human, Ishmael. That ain't Ishmael ain't got nothing to do with this conversation.
Esau.
No, we talking about this conversation right here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
we on this conversation right here. Okay. Who is this in 33 saying, I ain't never been in... No, okay, let's go to the second one. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Luke. If you don't say right, if you say right, he ain't going to respond. But don't mess around and say... Something wrong. Let's go to the fourth chapter, Luke, Mother Foster. We go have you to come, like I said, come clean in this lesson. You say, let's see. We're going to Luke chapter. No, let's make it Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verse 30, Mother Foster. Luke chapter 1, verse 30.
Luke chapter 1, verse
30. Listen good.
And the ministering spirit said unto her,
what?
Fear not, Miriam.
Yeah.
For thou hast found favor with Yahweh.
Yes.
31.
Yes.
31. And behold, thou hast conceived in your womb.
Yes.
And bring forth a son.
Yes.
And shall call his name.
What?
Yahweh the Son.
Excellent. Go ahead.
32. He shall be great.
Yes.
And shall be called the Son of the Highest.
Oh, so he will be called the what?
Son of the Highest.
The word of the Highest name, and he will be called what?
Yahweh.
Yahweh the what?
Son.
The Son. So that's why we call him Yahweh the Son. Because the Spirit said that's what you call him. He could be called the Son of the Most Highest. Mm-hmm. That's why we call him Yahweh the Son. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible Spirit said what you're supposed to call him. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yes.
That's why we call him Yahweh the Son. Mm-hmm. No, we can bag it up. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And Yahweh shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
So Yahweh going to give him, Yahweh the Father going to give him the throne of his father David. So now we know what loins he'll come down to.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Verse 33.
Listen.
And he shall reign over the family of Israel.
And his responsibility is to reign over the whole world. Is that what it says?
The family of Israel forever.
Oh, so the world don't fall to get up in there, sir. But they get themselves in there. But that ain't what the new spirit said.
Right.
He gonna reign over who?
Israel.
The 12 tribes of Israel. For how long?
Forever.
And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Okay, good. Now, the ministering spirit is talking to who?
To Miriam.
So Miriam ain't said a word yet. Now she finna start to respond in verse 34.
Verse 34. Then said Miriam to the ministering spirit.
Yes.
How shall this be?
How should this be?
Seeing I know not a man.
Ain't that something? How this gonna happen? I ain't never laid with no man. I ain't been with no man. How is this gonna happen? Down the middle spirit, that ain't gonna happen. That's why I tell you, when you come to class, it's best to don't try to think about nothing. Get your answer. Mm-hmm. We'll see what the answer is in 35.
verse 35.
Yeah.
And the ministering spirit answered and said unto her.
Yes.
The righteous
go ahead.
Spirit.
Yes.
Shall come upon you.
That's what's right. Going to happen.
And the power.
And the power
of the highest,
which is your, which is this son of Father,
shall overshadow you.
Shall overshadow thee.
Therefore also.
Also.
That righteous thing.
That is righteous thing.
Which shall be born of you.
Yeah.
Shall be called.
Shall be called the Son of Man.
The Son of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? So Son of Man, he will be called on Son of Man, but called the Son of Yahweh the Father, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's where that is, right?
Yeah.
Now, what did she say behind that?
Verse 36.
Yeah, what did she say behind that?
And behold, your cousin Elizabeth shall have also conceived a son in her old age.
Right.
And this is the sixth month with her.
So they're going to be 6 months apart, which is barren, right? Verse 37.
For with Yahweh,
with Yahweh,
nothing shall be impossible.
So she's fully persuaded. Now let's see what she said next in verse 38.
And Miriam said, Behold, the handmaid,
your handmaid
of Yahweh, be it unto me according to your word.
Go on, take care of the business. Whatever y'all folks do, go on, do it.
And the minister's spirit departed from her.
So whatever folks have to me, y'all go on, do it. I'll submit. How is it going to happen? The mighty one is going to overshadow you. Huh?
That's right.
That's how it's going to happen. And you got nothing to do with Joseph. This is how it's going to happen. So she said, go on, take care of business then. Huh? Do you want me to take this long robe off? What you want me to do? That's what she's saying. What you want me to do? What you want me to do? That's what she's saying right there. And so that's how it happened. That's what the middle spirit said, how it going to happen. So all this about you. What Joseph did you? Joseph ain't got nothing to do with this picture. This is how it's going to happen. So you see, but the minister spirit did not bust her out when she said, I not had no man. Did he bust her out and say, no, you were with Joseph a couple hours ago. What are you talking about? So that means that didn't happen, did it? So now we go back to 8:33, then you tell me what's wrong with this picture you're reading then. What's wrong with you? Now you're talking to the man that made the minister spirit. You're talking to the man that made the minister spirit, and you said, what's in 8:33? What do you say 8:33 to the man that made the missing spirits?
St. John 8:33.
What? What?
They answer him. We be Abraham's seed.
And we was never in bondage.
To any man. Now says thou you shall be made free.
So now who can tell him that and get away with that? That ain't never been in bondage to. Can Israel tell him that?
No.
So that means that ain't Israel talking, is it?
That's right.
Oh, Mother Thompson. How can Israel be talking now and saying they ain't never been bondage nobody? He just wrote Moses said, we cried to our Yahweh for the stress we was in. So how could they say that to him and get away with it? Hello? Hello, Mother Foster.
I'm confused.
How could somebody lie to Yahweh and get away with it?
You can't.
So you can't lie to Yahweh, right? So that can't be who talking then.
Israel, Yahdah.
That's not Yahdah talking.
Why? Because you can't lie to who?
Yahweh.
So who is this saying? We ain't never been involved. Oh! Ain't that something, Mother Foster? Ain't that something, Mother Foster?
Yes, it is.
That must be who talking then?
Esau and his five sons.
That must be Esau and his five sons talking. Huh? Huh? Now read 34. Now watch this conversation. It's 34. 33, 34.
That's St. John.
Yeah.
8:34.
Let's finish this conversation here.
8:34.
What it say in 8:34?
Yahweh the Son answered them.
And Yahweh the Son answered them.
Truly.
Truly, truly.
I say unto you.
I say unto thee. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Yeah. Let me just go. Let me go high horse on you for a minute. Come on, Brother T. Israel. Let's go to the book called, the book of Jubilees. I mean, Jasper. 61 verse 5. Let me take my hammer and just and beat this. Boom, 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 boom. Let me show. Come on, grandsons. Come, grandbabies. Listen to this, grandbabies. Let's know what it says in Jasper 61 verse 5. Now listen, Mother Paul. Listen to this now. With all we've got so far, listen what it got written in Jasper 61 verse 5.
Book of Jasper chapter 61 verse 5, and it reads, and Zepho, the son of Eliphaz.
And Zepho, the son of who?
Eliphaz.
Who is Zepho, Mother Foster? Who is Zepho, Mother Foster? That's the one you call the Romans today, motherfucker. One called the Romans. So that's Zepho, that's one of the brothers, one of the grandsons of the five sons. Zepho is one of them. Zepho is the one you call today the Romans. The Romans, okay? So Zepho, and who is Zepho is? In the corner, according to the Bible. No, let's read verse. Watch what the Bible says, 61 verse 5. 61:5.
Book of Jasper 61, verse 5, it reads, and Zepho, the son of Eliphaz.
Yes.
The son of Esau.
Ain't that something? Zepho is the son of Eliphaz, and Eliphaz is the son of who?
Esau.
Good. Let's go to 63 and pick verse 20 to 24. We're going to 63, verse 20 to 24. We're going to 63. Verse 23. Listen, Mother Foster. Listen.
And when Zepho heard the words of his brethren.
Who is Zepho's brethren? Let the book tell it.
The children of Esau.
The children of Esau. That was called a day of Romans. Go ahead.
He was afraid of death.
Yes.
Zepho was greatly afraid of Anguish.
Yes.
Verse 21. Anguish. And Lucas, his brother, raised all their forces, about 800,000 men.
Right.
And get the children of Kittim.
Kittim. So Kittim has nothing to do as a bloodline to Zepho.
Right.
Kittim is the name before they put the name Rome there. What was there was Kittim.
That's right.
Ain't no daddy name. Rome. The name before he was Rome was Kittim. Son of Japhetic. So Japhetic people cannot be the white man.
Right.
That's right.
You see that? You hear me talking, Imam.
Yeah.
Do you hear me talking, Imam? It don't work like that when you go into the Bible. See, it don't work like that. When you watch them bump the gun, then lock the door. It don't work like that.
That's right.
Hey.
He said to Zepho, pray for us.
Now Kittim, and who is Kittim according to Genesis chapter 10 of Brother Hoshea Israel? Who is Kittim according to Genesis 10? Kittim is telling Zepho to pray for us. Kittim is telling Zepho to pray for us. Who is Kittim? Go to Genesis chapter 10,
chapter
2, down to the name Kittim. It might be with a C or it might be with a K. Same name. Let's find out. Let's see if we tag this and see who got the truth on the table. Do the world of voices. We're going to find out who got the truth. Come on, read.
Genesis chapter 10, verse number 4.
Pick up at verse 2. Okay. Break it on down.
Okay, break it on down.
Yeah, break it on down. Come on.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
The sons of Japheth.
The sons of Japheth.
Gomer.
Magog.
And Javan.
And Javan.
Tubal.
Meshach.
Tyrus.
Tyrus.
Verse 3. And the sons of Gomer.
Ashkenaz.
Rephah. And Togarmah. Verse 4. The sons of Javan.
Elisha.
Tarshish.
Kittim. So Kittim is telling Esau, would you pray for me? how is he the right man then? You see, they do. You see how that bad teaching on destroyed the world?
Yes.
Kittim is asking Esau, the white man, would you pray for me? So but Kittim is Japheth.
That's right.
So Kittim is not the white man.
That's right.
Kittim is Japhetic peoples. Japhetic peoples asking Esau, the white man, would you pray for me? Well, now come on back and read it in chapter. Watch this. Watch what Kittim say. So now we know who Kittim is, the descendants of Japhetic peoples, right?
Right?
What did Kittim say to Zepho, the sons of Eliphaz and Esau? What did they say?
Pray for us.
Pray for us.
To the
Yahuwah
of your ancestors.
Yahuwah of your fathers.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Zeppo, pray to Yahuwah of your fathers.
Yes. Of Abraham.
Your fathers. And he's going to tell you more. Watch this. Go ahead.
Pre-adventure. He might deliver us.
Us kill him.
From the hands of Eguas.
But English, that's called the Hamites, the Africans.
And his army. But we have heard that he is a great Yahuwah.
We heard that your Yahuwah, Zelpaz, is a great Yahuwah. Go ahead.
And that he delivers all who trust in him.
And Kittim telling Zeppo, we heard about your Yahuwah, Reed.
That's right.
Yes, 23.
Listen.
And Zeppo heard their words. And Zeppo sought Yahuwah.
And Zeppo went to Yahuwah. Listen.
And he said.
24.
Oh, Yahuwah.
Of Abraham.
And Isaac.
Brother Foster, come on now. You got to repent behind what you want to say today. What did I say today? that was whatever you said earlier. You know you said.
I didn't say what I read.
But when the Bible come out and tighten you up, folks do what? When the Bible come and tighten you up, folks do what? Folks give it up, huh? Come on. Now let me say, pray for who? Pray what? Pray for what?
Pray for us. To Yahuwah of your fathers.
Now he's telling Zeppo, which is Eliphaz's son, which is Esau, the red man, called a white man, which you pray to your Yahuwah for us. We are Japhetic peoples. Mm-hmm. You get the more about it?
Yeah.
Us Kittim, we are Japhetic peoples.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
We are Japhet. We are Japheth, not Esau, the white man. We is Japhetic people. Would you pray for us in who name? Watch this. You pray for us in verse 24. To who?
Yahuwah of Abraham.
And Isaac.
My fathers.
So then he said, we are Abraham's seed. We ain't been in bondage to nobody, motherfucker.
Yes.
So who is saying that? Who ain't been in bondage to nobody?
Esau and his father.
That's right. That's right. That's what we got to do. We want everybody to get to this level. We want to be able to go in the book and say, no, that's not correct. But go into why it's not correct. Because it looks like he talking to Israel over there, but with further information, we find out that's not true. Because he left a keyword saying, we ain't never been in bondage to nobody. And now if he was lying, Yahuwah done the same thing the woman did.
Right.
Bust him out. Same thing, if Miriam was lying that she had a been with Joseph a couple hours ago. He said, you've been with Joseph a couple hours ago. You talking about woman? But she have not been with Joseph, because she said she have been with no man. So that was true. Because you can't lie to the minister spirits, because they watch and write down. Right?
Yeah.
So now, keep reading 25 and 26. Let my father hit this real good now.
Okay, check out verse 25.
Yeah, put it for the 24.
Okay. This day I know that you are a true Yahuwah.
We know, yeah, go ahead.
And all Yahuwahs of the nations are vain and useless.
And we know that every Yahuwah of the land is vain and useless. This kid I'm talking to, Zeppo. Zeppo is Esau.
Right?
Right? What is it next?
25. Remember now this day.
Remember this day.
Unto me, your covenant.
Your covenant.
With Abraham.
The covenant you made with who?
With Abraham.
Abraham.
Our father.
Our father.
With our fathers.
With our father.
Relate unto us.
Relate to us.
To do righteously.
To do what?
Righteously with you.
That.
This day.
This day.
For the sake of Abraham.
Sake of Abraham.
And Isaac, our father.
Wait a minute, mother. Wait a minute. Look what he's saying first. What did he say again? What did he say? That's a good thing. See, Mother Fawcett, when she hears truth, she just make adjustments. Brother Captain over here, he still won't talk about somebody else. He don't want to hear truth and make no adjustments. This guy here don't want to hear no truth and make adjustments. He gonna tell about, but what should I tell a woman when I get back home?
Right.
Somebody gonna tell us. What you tell a woman when you get back home?
Yeah.
This is what they're talking about. Well, what should I tell a woman when I get home? Because she's not gonna believe me.
Right.
You see how he talk? You look how Mother Foster talk. She found out, whoa, I got some here. But no. You want to talk about the what should I tell a woman when you get back home?
Stop. I said, no, I'm just saying I give up.
Now you see we're licked in verse 26. Watch this 26. Listen.
Verse 26.
Listen.
And Yahuwah hearken, listen to the voice of Zeppo.
And Yahuwah listened to the voice of Zeppo. Not because of Zeppo, watch what he say.
And he had regard for him on account of Abraham and Isaac.
Ain't that something? Only he did it on account of who?
Abraham
and Isaac. He knew Zeppo was on some misties anyway. But for your father, Abraham and Isaac, I'm going to go beat Ham down. Come on, read.
And Yahuwah delivered Zeppo.
And Yahuwah delivered Zeppo.
And the children of Kittim.
Then Zeppo is not Kittim to Japhet. Japhet is Kittim.
That's right.
Yahuwah delivered who again? Zeppo.
And the children of
Kittim. They are separate peoples.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They the white man. Japhet ain't the white man. Zeppo them is the white man. Zeppo is the Romans.
Yeah. Regard
on
Abraham,
Isaac. Abraham and Isaac. Because he couldn't say Jacob because Israel, because them two his brothers.
Right.
Your fathers, they said talk about fathers in 33.
Right.
We have now been in bondage to no man, and our father, he's my father, he's my brother.
Right.
He's my father now. No false. Talk about father now. Now come back to 33 again. 833 again. So watch the conversation 833 again. With that understanding, what are you getting ready to do? Brother Captain, you'll call your ride already?
No, they already called me.
Oh, yeah?
They gave you a time.
You gave them a time. You gave them a time, huh?
No,
knowing the son and he would die, you gave them a time, huh? You got to pay anyway. Why you give them a time that when the son is still down, you just approach your Sabbath day, bro?
Yeah, no,
huh? You don't have to? You don't have to what? You don't have to do what?
Pay.
I know you ain't got to pay, but can you tell him to come back in about a couple hours or something there, bro? Sun ain't down yet. You can prove your Sabbath day?
Okay.
feast day.
You change on feast day?
Yeah, I can change it now.
You already put it in time already?
Yeah.
Hey. You know you pull your Sabbath, right? Because the sun ain't now.
It's 8:21. That's when it go down.
Okay, alright. So
that's what Esau tell us. They forget a time.
You can't
follow
that.
You know, the sun is saying when
it hit
God, then you know.
So now it's going 34. Now, motherfuckers, come on, motherfuckers. 8:34. Now, let's see if we hit some of this conversation. Now, when it's 8:34.
St. John.
8:34.
Hey, verse 34. I want everybody here.
Okay. Well, I want everybody here, too.
Yahweh's son answered.
Them. Now, who's the them, mother, father? Who's the them? A little bit loud. You sound like you're scared to talk about it. But remember, you got to have all this other good stuff to bag it up now, because they're going to jump you now.
I understand it.
Yeah, good. You do understand it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Okay.
What happened next?
Truly, truly, I say unto you,
what?
Whosoever committeth transgressions is the servant of transgressions.
Well, that what he's telling Esau and his five sons. What he said next to him?
35.
Yeah, 35.
And the servants abideth not in the family.
Okay.
Forever.
Okay, good. And what did he say next?
But the son abides forever.
He said, you know, I'm locked to the hip with my father. I know what's going on. I'll be right there. You won't. Go ahead.
36.
What did he say in 36?
If the son therefore. Make you free. You shall be free.
He got indeed. The power to do. Right.
Indeed.
So let him know I got the power to make who I want to be free. Go ahead.
37. I know that you are Abraham's seed.
He said, I know who you are. I know you Abraham's seed.
But you seek to kill me.
Oh. Now, Mother Foster gets suspicious again. You seek to kill me. I know you Abraham seed,
yeah.
But you seek to kill me.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He said, I know you Abraham seed. So who was seeking to kill? Who was seeking to kill?
Esau.
Yeah, you know what? Now let's go back to this 17th chapter just for a minute. Come on, brother, don't help me out. Let's go to Exodus 17. Okay. Come on, Mother Falls. Come on back to the 17th chapter of Exodus. That's the 17th chapter of Exodus. So we know the children of Israel. Now we'll pick up at verse number 5. 17:5.
Exodus 17:5.
What did it say?
And Moshe cried unto Yahweh.
Exodus 17:5. And Yahweh said unto Moses, 17:5.
Oh,
yes,
Exodus
17:5. Yeah, what it says,
17:5. And Yahweh said unto Moshe,
what?
Go on before the people. And take with you of the elders of Israel.
So take with you who? The Rainbow Coalition. Now let's say.
The elders of Israel.
So Moses also deal with who? The Rainbow Coalition or what?
The elders of Israel.
Oh. So y'all hear that? So you're supposed to deal with the elders of Israel. Not no Rainbow Coalition. Go ahead.
And your rod.
With you.
Thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go.
Yeah, and go. So go and do, you know, people, they got a little problem. Go ahead. So Moses talked about concerning the people. Then what happened next?
Verse 6. Behold, I will stand before you there.
Upon the rock.
In Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock.
And thou shalt smite the rock.
And there shall come water.
And there shall come water. Y'all want water? I'm going to make sure y'all got some water. Go ahead.
Water out of it.
Water out of it.
That the people
that
may drink.
Okay, the people might drink.
And Moshe did so.
Moses did so.
In the sight
of who?
Of the elders of Israel.
The elders of Israel. Good. What happened next?
Verse 7.
What happened in verse 7?
And he called.
And he called.
The name of the place.
And he called the name of the place.
Massa.
Massa.
And
Meribah.
Meribah.
Yeah.
Because of the
chiding
of the children of Israel.
Children of Israel.
And because they tempted.
They tempted the root. Yeah.
They tempted Yahweh.
Okay.
Sin is
what?
Yahweh among us.
So they're gonna tempt Yahweh. Now, so far the conversation with Yahweh, the children of Israel, right? So everybody going back and forth, right? Now watch what happened. In the next verse.
Verse 8. Then came
who?
Amalek.
Who is Amalek?
Esau and his
five sons. Then comes Amalek. You remember when Moses said, you know how things prevail of the Pharaohs and we in bad shape.
Oh.
And what they say, yeah, so what? I'm still sticking with the sword, right?
Right.
Now Moses is crying to Yahweh about the children of Israel want to drink some water, right?
Yeah.
Then comes Amalek. Let's see if Amalek come in to join and help them get some water.
Then came Amalek and fought with Israel.
Wait a minute. What did Israel do to Amalek for them to come and want to fight for? And Israel already beat down on some water and everything else. And then here come Amalek. He got opportunity to do what with Israel?
Fight.
So which one is in captivity? Is Amalek in captivity? Or is it come out of captivity? Or is it
Israel?
Which one come out of captivity?
Israel.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And what did Yahweh say when it all said down in verse 16? All said down.
17:16.
Yeah, all said down.
For he said.
What did he say?
Because Yahweh has sworn.
Yes.
That Yahweh will have war with Amalek.
For how long?
From generation to generation.
So when do it be a rainbow coalition?
It's
supposed to be a what, according to the Bible? How do Esau and his five sons, how can I put it? Esau and his five sons to you, how you supposed to look at things on their perspective and your perspective?
An enemy
because it's going to be what for forever?
A sword.
No, according to the Bible, it's going to be what? According to 16.
Oh. Because Yahweh has sworn that Yahweh will have war with Amalek.
For how long?
Generation to generation.
So that's the way you got to look at this thing. I don't care how sweet they speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh say it's going to be war between you and them from how long?
Generation to generation.
Now, how you get yourself caught up with this guy there?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the fact, Yahweh said, it will be war between y'all for how long?
Generation to generation.
And we're a generation now?
Yes.
So how is all this rainbow coalition for, and Father Franklin, all this holy hand, all this, how is all this according to the Bible? How do they pull that off?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know scripture, and that's what we hear.
Right.
And that's why we got to know scripture. How to get in and get out and take care of business.
He said they don't know scripture.
Right.
What's that verse about that not knowing scripture or the power of Yahweh? You do error.
Huh?
You finish on
that? What?
On John 8.
No, I ain't through it. It's still reading it. Now, what we find out, you talking about 22nd chapter there, Brother T. Israel. You talking about Matthew 22 there. And that what you talking about? That what you want? And that, you hear that, Imam? Yeah. Imam, do you hear that, Imam? Oh, Imam, now she gonna stiffen up on me now. Look at, now look at Imam. Oh, you had too many good points. Now, I ain't. That's enough. That's enough good points. See, look, Imam. 22:29.
Matthew 22:29.
Read it.
Sister
Wyatt. You read it, bro. T. Israel. Come on, bro. T.
Yeah. Yahweh's son, Matthew 22:29.
What's that?
Yahweh's son answered and said unto them.
What?
You do error.
Well, what make you error?
Not knowing the scripture. Nor the power of Yahweh.
So you err if you don't know scripture. So that's where you err at. You can't say, well, I believe. No, you erring by what you believe. You error because you don't know what?
Scripture.
Scripture. That is the key. That is the key how you get out of this thing. Scripture. Now, come on back. Bubba O'Shea Israel, pick up at St. John chapter 8, 34. So you error. See, we error, we don't know scripture. So we jump down and look at it one way. It might appear to be that way, but ain't necessarily mean it's right. That's the point we make. 8:34, Brother Hoshea Israel Blanket of St. John.
St. John, verse
8.
Chapter 8, verse 34.
Listen to this.
Yahweh's son answered them.
Yahweh's son answered them.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, transgression, is a servant of transgression.
Mm-hmm. That's the chopper real good. Go ahead.
Verse 35.
Uh-huh.
And the servant abideth not in the house forever,
mm-hmm.
but the son abideth forever.
He said, my position is locked in stone. Joel ain't. Go ahead.
Verse 36.
What?
If the son therefore shall make you free,
mm-hmm.
you shall be free indeed. Verse 37.
So he brings it back to me.
I know you are Abraham's seed.
He said, I know Esau, you Abraham's seed. I know your father is Isaac and Abraham. Brother Foster, look, see, I'm dead on to say, I don't see that in there, that I can pull a whole garbage truck on them. See that? See, I can put it in there, Mother Foster. You know why? Because I know how to go tight. Get you off of me. Huh?
Yeah.
I can get you off of me. I can put them in there now. And I know what it says in 11 verse 7, what it says in Exodus. I know when I put it in there, Brother T. Israel, I know what better not happen. 11 verse 7 of Exodus. I can put it in there, and I know what I know in 11 verse 7 Exodus.
The second book of the early times, the book of Exodus, chapter 11, verse 7, it reads.
Listen to this, Imam.
But against any of the children of Israel, should not a dog move his tongue?
A dog better not move his tongue when I say something. When I tell you something, a dog better not move his tongue. And he ain't talking about no four leg. No, I say he in there, then he in there.
Yeah.
If a dog moves come on, I'll lay all them verses on him. You see that? That's the game changer right there. I can put him in there and I can bag it up. You hear that, Mother Foster? And better not a dog move their tongue.
Yeah.
And what dog are they talking about? Let's go to 15th chapter. Brother O'Shea Israel. Let's find what dog you're talking about. We're going to see you talking about four-legged dogs. We're going to check and see the Bible talking about four-legged dogs.
Uh-oh.
Let's pick up verse 23. 15:23 of Matthew. We're going to see what kind of dog we're talking about.
Matthew.
Pick up verse 22, make it sound good. Matthew 15:22. We're going to find out what kind of dog we're talking about.
Matthew 15.
If we're talking about four-legged dogs with the tail go all up and back. We're going to see according to the Bible.
Matthew 15.
Huh? 15:22.
Matthew 15, verse 22 reads.
Listen good.
And behold, woman.
What?
Of Canaan. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying,
I heard when Yahweh cried to Israel, cried to Yahweh, Yahweh said, I got respect for him, right? Now here's a woman, Katie, come and cry.
Oh, yeah.
So she come crying too. Imam, listen. The woman of Ham came to Yahweh crying. Is that what gets so far?
Yeah.
We read when the children of Israel cried to Yahweh, he got respect for them, right?
Yeah.
We're going to find, do we pray even more or for everybody? Here goes a woman in distress. She came and cried to Yahweh. That's a good thing so far, right? Right, Imam? That's a good thing so far, right? What else did she say? What else did she say?
A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying,
saying what?
Have mercy on me, O Yahweh.
Wait a minute. And that's proper?
That's proper.
Imam, have mercy on me, Yahweh, and it's good talking? Sound good. What happened next?
You son of Dawid.
You recognize who he was. Right?
My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil.
He said, my daughter got a devil in my daughter. My daughter got a devil in her.
23.
Hold that point. Motherfuckers, go to 844, come back to St. John. 844, St. John. 844, St. John, motherfuckers. He's talking about these devil talkers. Keep talking a little bit. So you better go and talk. Keep talking a little bit more about the devil.
Okay.
What is that?
St. John 8:44.
What?
You are of your father, the devil.
Wait a minute. What that mean?
You want some more? You want some?
You remember the children of Israel cry unto Yahweh? He got respect for them, right?
Yeah.
No. So who he telling you owe your father the devil?
He can't be
double-minded. Yahweh ain't double-minded. He played the same hand, remember, the same today, yesterday, right. Forever, right? So if he say you owe your father the devil, how can he say you owe your father the devil? Then go back and say, I got respect for Israel, and what's on your mind? And I heal Israel. That's double-handed to Israel, ain't it?
Mm.
Come on out, mother folks. Think about it. He said, you are of your father the devil. Is he talking to Israel?
No.
Oh, he ain't talking to Israel, huh? He talking to somebody else that's of a father the devil. Just like he's saying right here. He's talking to this Canaanite woman. This Ham, right?
That's right.
Is this Ham?
That's right.
This is Nelson Mandela, kin folks.
Mm.
Oh, ain't nobody going to hear none of this now. See, come on, read some more. What did he say to the woman?
But he answered, verse 23.
What did he say?
But he answered her not a word.
But he didn't say nothing to her. Maybe she did all the good stuff she's supposed to do. And he just looked at it and answered her one word. Now imagine somebody come and he said, help me out. My child has got the devil in them. And you just stop and just look at him.
Yeah.
Now, so you know one thing. So you know I have got an opportunity to talk about how much Bible he getting. Women have. Now, you ain't getting all this Bible according to Israel here now. Yahweh don't change. Go ahead.
And his followers came.
And done what?
And besought him, saying.
What?
Send her away.
Send Ham away.
For she cried after us.
She came after us before she came to you.
24. But he answered and said.
But he answered and said.
I ain't said. But unto the lost sheep of a nation, family.
He said, hold on, woman. I'm only sent to the who?
The lost sheep.
The family of Israel.
I thought he's a worldly man. So God so loved the world, he gave his own born son.
For the family of Israel.
You see what the Bible just saying? So then that verse got to be questioned too then, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Although it appears to sound like that. Just like mother father say over there, this got to be Southern Kingdom, got to be Yahweh. Because it says it here. Sometimes things sound like that until you investigate.
Yeah.
And that's what we do it. Yeah. Investigate stuff.
That's right.
If it's good stuff, we work with it.
Hallelujah.
But we know he don't change. So once everybody, we know he don't change.
right.
So how he done got all these blessings for the other nation? He said, I'm not even sent to the other nation. So how they got all this personal relationship with him? And he said, I ain't even sent to them.
They are of the Father.
And they got all the conversation going now and Bible study classes.
They are of the
Father. You see what the Bible saying, Mother Foster? You see what the Bible really saying? Now you take this, better have some to work with. Now they tell you gotta leave my Bible study class behind, that kind of talk. They tell you gotta leave.
Go.
Huh? Read verse 24.
Verse 24. But he answered and said,
what?
I'm not sent but unto the family of the nation of Israel.
So I know she's talk about how great they are right now. About their book of the dead right now. Verse 25. Let's see what she say.
Verse 25.
What?
Then came she and worshipped him.
Came she and worshipped him, saying what?
Yahweh.
What?
Help me.
Wait a minute. Yahweh told her something and she still won't give up. She said what?
Help me.
Help me. I'm drowning, Yahweh. My kid got the devil in him. Help me, Yahweh. Is that what she's saying so far, my boss?
Yes.
And what happened next in 26?
26. But he answered her and said.
So he finally answered and said. What? Watch what he said to her.
It is not meet.
It's not right.
To take the children's bread.
The children of Israel bread.
And cast it
to the dogs.
Who he called that woman a what? He called the dogs a man what?
Dogs.
But that dog movie tail. So what was he talking about then?
People.
The four-legged dog?
Or
talking about the people?
Nation.
Which one he said, but not move their mouth?
The nation that's around.
So you talking about people. So you talking about people in 11:17. I mean 11 verse 7. So now we can go back and put people there. Come on back there. Now come on, let's put people there. See, somebody that talks the Bible. Who gonna talk the Bible? Like he said over in Isaiah 6. Who gonna go? Who gonna go with us? Who gonna stay? Who gonna do something?
Right.
Yeah, but I wanna know too. Is anybody gonna put some Bible on anybody? Put some Bible on somebody. Hold on, Mother Foster, we're talking Bible. We trying to get back to where you left off at, Mother Foster. Then you gonna nail it yourself with conviction. Where the woman said next. Let's see, did she say, no, we are superior race. In verse 27.
And she said,
the daughter of Ham said,
True.
Yahweh.
Yet the dog.
What she call herself?
The dog.
But the dogs want what?
Eat the crumbs.
So with the crumbs.
Which falls off their master's table.
All the dogs supposed to receive from you is the what? But now they'll take everything from you. Now they do everything. Now you really ask for Emon, now you want some crumbs.
Asking the dog for some
crumbs. You ask the dog for some crumbs. You see what this Bible just said?
Yeah.
They know their position. Then that's why they tell you stay out of the Bible.
That's right.
Leave the Bible alone. They don't worry about the Bible. All you need is Paul. Two verses from Paul. All you need is two verses from Paul. You won't read none of this. So now we find out that the sons of Ham, in the eyes of Yahweh, is what?
No.
Did they agree?
Yes,
they
did.
They agree. Huh? Now, wait a minute. Now let's come back to St. John chapter 8 then. Picture 35. Where you at? 36? Where you at? 5:36. Where you at? Yeah, back to St. John 8.
Yeah, 8.
Because Mother Falls going to go, she go holler from the mountaintop. What this? Quote.
37.
Yeah, we said 37.
I know that you are Abraham's seed.
He said, I know you Abraham's seed.
But you seek to kill me.
But you see, so who is Yahweh saying this to, Mother Foster? I know you Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me. Who are you telling that to, Mother Foster?
Esau and his five sons.
Esau and his five sons. Come on, read some up.
I know that you are Abraham's seed, Esau, but you seek to kill me.
That's right.
Because my word has no place in you.
Now, who did you get a word? Did you get a word to Israel?
Yes.
So he said, but you, my word got no place in you. So how did you guys get to Israel, Mother Foster?
I'm going to go back to
Isaiah, Mother Foster. See, this is how you have to hem him up. See, one day you hear somebody behind this. We go on to Isaiah. Isaiah. See, this is how you hear him up, motherfucker. He said, my word ain't got no place in you, right?
No.
Right? We're going to Isaiah now. We're going to Isaiah chapter, let's see, go to Isaiah chapter 8. Now listen to this, motherfucker. Now watch this. We're going to Isaiah. And now, you go to Isaiah. He said, my word ain't got no place in you, right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8.
That's right.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8.
Listen.
And Yahweh sent the word, Yahweh the Son sent the word unto Israel, and it hath lighted upon Israel.
Wait a minute. But he said, my word ain't got no place in you. But he said, I sent the word to Israel. Is I will make it, is he double-minded or something?
No.
Is he amnesia or something? No. He just said he sent the word to who?
Israel.
But he told somebody, my word ain't got no place in you. So he told somebody else that he motherfucker.
Yes.
Ain't that something? Let's go to Acts 10, motherfucker. And pick up at verse 36. See, this is how you do it, motherfuckers. That's excellent that you brought this on the table. But now we know how to deal with these verses.
What are you doing?
Acts 10, 36, motherfuckers, to bring it.
Acts 10, verse 36.
Yeah, okay.
The word which Yahweh sent unto the children of Israel.
Well, no, that's double-minded. That's Israel and Jaffe, don't do. The word he sent to who?
Israel.
So he said, when you say, well, my word ain't got no place in you. So this must be somebody else beside Israel, then, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So now we say, because he sent the word to the children of Israel, right?
Yeah.
So he can't turn around and catch amnesia and say, what in that verse 30 what? What did you say? My what? Back to St. John 8. My word what? My word what? In the 8th chapter of St. John, that Brother Hoshea is well. My word what? My word what?
John 8.
My word what?
I know
huh?
That you are Abraham's seed, Esau.
Yes.
But you seek to kill me.
Why you seek to kill me?
Because my word has no place in you.
Mother false, that got to be a separation there. Unless we deal with double minded mighty one. That got to be a separation there. That got to be somebody else that's dropped in the priesthood. That Herod was running.
The imposter,
mother false. That's the one at the priesthood. That's the one that had the books and said they you. Don't they say they you right now in Israel?
Yeah.
Don't they say that's what that's where it started from right there?
Everybody
you but you. You see that?
Yeah.
Come on, read some more. Listen to this.
I speak that which I have seen with my father.
Yeah.
And you do that which you have seen with your father.
So now you see that now Yahweh, he said go ahead and signify. You want to signify? Mm-hmm. Let's signify.
39.
What is that?
They all.
Now, Esau
answered.
Now, here's Esau. Throw a shot at him. Watch him always hit it. Hit him with a low blow because he don't understand what the Messenger Spirit said to Miriam. Since he don't understand that, he going to throw a shot at him. Watch this.
Esau answered and said unto him.
What?
To Yahweh.
What?
Abraham is our father.
Yes.
Yahweh said unto them.
Yeah.
If you were Abraham's children.
Right.
You would do the works of Abraham.
That's right.
40. But now you seek to kill me.
You seek to kill me.
A man that hath told you the truth.
That have told you the truth. Go ahead.
Which I have heard of Yahweh.
Yeah.
This did not Abraham.
Abraham didn't do it where you did. Go ahead.
41.
What?
You do the deeds of your father.
You do the deeds of your father.
Then said they to him.
Now they going to signify with Yahweh the Son, motherfucker. Here they go. Now they just signify, motherfucker.
We be not born of fornication.
We weren't born because we don't know how you were born. Joseph said he didn't touch you, and Joseph had a problem. So we don't remember how you was born because you don't know nothing about the Bible. You know what the Milk Spirit made that happen.
You just know Joseph had a problem. As a matter of fact, Joseph's problem was so bad. Mother Foster, let me show you how bad Joseph's problem was. Joseph's problem was so bad behind that. Imagine you go home and you say, well, you know I'm pregnant. So what? You what? And you know, she was like, shoot. The last time I remember doing something so long ago, what you mean you pregnant? What you talking about you pregnant? Wait, what make you say that? Let's go. Come on, Brother T.S. Ray, let me show you something what happened. Let's go to 1, verse 19. Pick it up at 118. Matthew 118. Watch this. Listen to this.
Matthew
118. Let me show you what had to happen.
The book of Matthew. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Yahweh the Son was on this wise.
But the birth of Yahweh the Son was on this wise.
When as his mother Miriam.
His mother Miriam
was espoused to Joseph.
So she was engaged to Joseph.
Before they came together,
Mother Foster. Before they came together. What's this?
She was found with child of the righteous spirit.
Now, wait a minute. Joseph said, wait a minute, woman. You saying what? We came together. Yeah, you tell me you what? Somebody got to talk to me. I know it don't work like that. You can't come to out your belly. It's all into my... And I know I ain't done nothing to you. Huh? Let's see what Joseph said behind that.
Verse
19.
Listen.
Then
Joseph, her husband.
He's a just man. What kind of man?
Just man.
Yahwali man.
Yeah.
What about it?
And not willing.
And not willing.
To make her a public example.
Because if you come up pregnant and they went through the right step, they're going to have to make you a what?
Example.
A public example. They got to bring you out like Judah said about tear up. Bring out and bar, tear up. He said, your daughter-in-law is pregnant. Your daughter-in-law is pregnant. Tamar is pregnant. He said, well, go get him. Bring out here. We're going to burn her tail up. We'll put some fire up here then. Huh?
Yeah.
Y'all, Mother Foster ain't going to hear no more book now. Look at it. She ain't going to hear no more book. Come on, read some more.
Was mighty to put her own way.
So he want to go and put away. Privately.
Privately.
He said, I ain't going to make a public example out of I know you're a back domain woman, so I'm just going to put you away privately. See what he said? Mm-hmm. Now, what happened in verse 20?
Verse 20.
But you what kind of man in verse 19?
Just man.
So a just man, that means he got a visit from the mighty one. See, when you're a just, he going to come tell you what to do. See, if you ain't just, you ain't got nothing coming. That's why I say you got to have your Yahwali man. Somebody that's going to tell you what time it is. Mm-hmm. See? So by him being a just man, mean a Yahwali man, what?
Yeah.
What?
Verse 20.
What?
But while he thought on these things.
So that's wrong to think, because he said, don't leave on your understanding, right? So he tried to figure this thing out. Mama gonna touch. She with child. And, wait a minute. I don't even remember getting drunk. I don't even remember even nowhere near her. You know, doubt that what? Didn't think about it, fell asleep. Drunk in a house. I could say maybe something happened. I don't know. But I ain't got no. I know I ain't been nowhere near that woman. I ain't seen no needs. Go ahead.
Behold, look, the minister spirit of Yahweh.
Oh,
in a dream.
The minister spirit of Yahweh came to Joseph in a dream.
Okay.
Saying,
Joseph, you son of David.
You son of David.
Fear not. To take her to you. Mirror your wife.
Fear not. Don't fear not. Big Bob ain't been there. Big Bob ain't been there. Mm-hmm. Is it? No, Big Bob had not been there. You hear that, Mom?
Yeah.
Tell him about Big Bob. No, Big Bob didn't. He didn't backdoor you. Good.
For that which is conceived in her is of the righteous spirit.
Oh. So all these folks that teach that's Joseph,
right.
Baby,
right.
You is going against the righteous spirit. If you speak against the righteous spirit according to Matthew 12, 21, 13, you got nothing come but the fact. But y'all don't drop that old wicked story about Joseph, how you make a baby. You got to have a man. If you don't drop that wicked story, you got fire on your head right there.
Went against nature.
Joseph had to do it. Now, Mrs. Pharaoh told Joseph, don't even fear Joseph. Don't worry about it, Joseph. This is the righteous spirit took care of this thing here. Don't worry about this. Big Bob ain't been over here. Big Bob didn't backdoor you. You see that? Come on back to 39 and come on back to 38 in St. John chapter 8. Let's work our way up to Mother Foster again. Let's get a couple more verses in right there. Then I'm going to come back to ask Mother Foster and see what you do with that verse 52 again.
St. John.
What?
Chapter
8. Yes. Verse 39. Yes. To 47.
47.
Take it straight down to 47.
And Esau answered and said unto him,
what?
Abraham is our father.
Yes.
Yahweh the son said to them,
what?
If you were of Abraham's children,
right,
you would do the works of Abraham.
So you're not the children of, on the side of Isaac to Jacob. Israel. That was saying, great.
40. But now you seek to kill me.
Why you seek to kill me? Let's see what he said. Why is that?
A man that hath told you the truth.
I've told you the truth.
Which I have heard of Yahweh.
Yet the Father.
The Father. This did not Abraham.
Abraham don't do stuff that y'all do, go ahead.
41. You do the deeds of your father.
So you're doing deeds of your father, Esau.
Then said they to him,
Watch what Esau said to Yahweh the son.
We be not born of fornication.
We
have one father.
See, we weren't born the way you were born. You were born of fornication. Because we know what Joel was right around trying to figure this thing out.
Mm.
We know the thing. You see what they said? We know the lick. We don't know what guy was it, but we know Joseph didn't ever touch him. At that time.
They know everything. They all up in our business.
You see that? What happened next?
42.
What?
Yahweh the son said unto them.
What?
If Yahweh were your father.
If Yahweh was your father.
You would love me.
You would love me.
For I proceeded forth and came from Yahweh the father.
Right.
Neither came I of myself.
Right.
But Yahweh the father sent me.
So he was sent to do this business. Go ahead.
43.
What?
Why do you not understand my speech?
He said, why you can't understand my speech, Esau, in your five sons that was employed by Herod, the king?
Is it because you cannot hear my word?
Because you cannot hear my word. I sent my word to Israel. I didn't send no word to Esau. That's why you can't hear my word today.
That's right.
The word light up on Israel. So the word light up on Esau. He ain't nothing lit up on him. That's why he say all the stuff he say today.
That's right.
Go ahead.
44.
What?
You are of your father, the
Esau,
devil.
You is of your father, the devil.
And the lust of your father, Esau, you will do.
And you will do everything your daddy do, Esau.
He was a murderer.
Your daddy was a murderer.
From the beginning.
From the beginning.
And abode not in the truth.
Your daddy is not in the truth.
Because there is no truth in
him. No truth in your daddy, Satan.
When he speaks
of a lie. Yeah.
And he speaketh of his own.
He speaketh of his own. Why?
For he is a liar.
He is a liar.
And the father of
him. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. Imagine you speaking to people that they are what?
Liar.
That's something to think about.
Automatically.
The liar.
By nature.
A liar.
And in spirit.
Go ahead.
Number 45. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth.
Because I tell you the truth.
You don't even believe me.
You don't even believe me.
46. Which of you convinces me of sin?
Go ahead.
And if I say the truth.
What?
Why don't you believe me?
Why don't you believe I tell you the truth? Go ahead.
47.
Listen.
He that is of Yahweh the Father heareth Yahweh the Father's word.
Right.
You therefore hear them not.
You hear them not.
You are not of.
Who is the you? Who is the you?
You Esau.
Esau, you not. You not. Mother Foster, you catch that? You not Esau. What about Esau? You not what?
You are not.
of Yahweh the Father.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Got no light.
Because he told you in verse 44 who you are. What did he say you are? 44.
You ain't got no light.
What did he say in 44?
You are of the Father.
You are of your Father the Devil. Mm-hmm. So now you got him, huh, folks? You are of your Father the Devil. Huh? Now going back to 54, my folks, now pick up the first 54 again. Now going back to 54. 52. 52, my folks.
John,
mm-hmm.
chapter 8, verse 52.
Listen to it.
Then said, Esau unto him.
No, don't leave them. Put the word there. Yeah. Then said.
The word for Yada.
Yeah. Put it up for Yada.
Yeah.
Come on, my father.
I know.
But what is he talking about?
So
now, Jew is. So, Jew is Yada, right?
Right, he's not talking.
What do it say in Revelation 2:9-3:9, Mother Foster? Revelation 2:9-3:9, what does it say there? I'm going to give you a precept. 2:9-3:9.
Revelation chapter 2.
Yeah, 2:9-3:9.
Chapter 2, verses
2:9-3:9. Revelation chapter 2,
yes.
Verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 9.
Okay. Revelation chapter 2,
verse 9.
I know your works.
I know your works.
And tribulation.
Yeah.
And poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But you are rich.
But you are rich.
And I know.
I know.
Blaspheming.
Yeah.
Of them.
Of them.
They
what?
They are
Yahdas. Yeah.
And are not.
Yeah, right. That's saying he's saying, I know. I know the one said they Yahda, but they're not.
That's good.
But they're not, Mother Foster, but they're not. They said of you, but they're not, Mother Foster.
It's a body blow right there. That's a.
But they're not.
Slam dunk. That's a.
Mother Foster, but they're not. I know you say you mean, but you're not.
A roundhouse on
you. I know you say you mean, but you're not. So what does it say? What does it say, Mother Foster? Peter Reed, what does it say that in that 2:9?
But are
the what?
Synagogue
what?
Of Satan.
Did we just read that over there 8:44?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, Mother Foster. I know you say. Like you think they're talking about, no, they're talking about you, Esau. They ain't talking about me.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying, Mother Foster? I know who you are. I can tell him, I know you Abraham seed, but you seem to clear me. I know you're not who you say you are. And we know you ain't who you say you are today. And we can prove it with the Bible open. And like my boss. 3:9.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 9.
What does it say?
Behold, I will make
them
of the synagogue of Satan.
Now who's the them? Esau and his five sons.
That's
right. Then we all got synagogues. Everyone got synagogues.
We
have temples.
We got temples.
They got synagogues, Mother Foster.
And churches.
They got churches and synagogues. Mother Foster, they got churches and synagogues. What do you say about them in 3:9?
The synagogue of Satan.
And we read that in only 8 chapter, Mother Foster. We put it back up to 8:44. You are of your father the devil. He ain't talking about Israel. He's talking about the one that said they're you, but they're not. Yeah. It appears that that's them, but they're not.
Right.
They're not, Mother Foster. 3:9.
We'll say they are Yahdas.
But.
But
what?
They are not.
They're not. Go ahead.
But do lie.
Did they do what?
Lie.
They lie, Mother Foster. They sit there and took that scripture up there and whipped our forefathers and thinking that talking about Israel.
Yeah.
And they lie. They don't cook the books on us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mother Foster. Go ahead.
Behold, I will make them
The sons of Esau.
Make them to come and worship before your feet.
So sooner or later, I will make Esau and his five sons come and do what?
Worship before
your feet
in chains.
In chains.
Yeah.
And we can read it, but we can
read
do it.
It.
And to know
that I have loved you.
I love who Yahweh I love.
Israel.
You don't love no Esau. What did he tell you about Esau?
That's right.
What did he say you over there in the ninth chapter?
That's right.
So you can't have any Roman shit. You can't have him being double minded now, motherfucker.
That's right.
Look what he says in the ninth chapter, verse number 13. Romans 9:13, motherfucker. Look what he says here. Romans 9:13. Now you can't have him double minded now, right? He ain't double minded. What he says over here in 9 verse 13 of Romans.
Romans chapter 9 verse 13.
Yeah.
As it is written.
He said you can go back and read it. If you don't believe me, you can go back and read it.
Israel have I loved.
I love me some Israel.
But Esau have I hated.
So you do you change?
Nope.
So if you hate him dead, do you love him now?
Nope.
You see that? So what's all this rainbow going on for? What's all this stuff going on? If we're going to do Bible, what?
That's right.
Unless the man change? Do he change, Mother Foster?
No.
If he hate him then, do he hate him then?
Yes.
He says, written? Where's written at? Malachi 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. Both T is real.
All right, Malachi the seer. Chapter 1. 1 through 4. Burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi.
Yes.
Verse 2.
What?
Have love you, said Yahweh.
I love me some Israel now.
Yeah, you say. Whereas you love us.
It's an evil word, I can't tell it.
Was not Esau Israel's brother?
Esau is Israel's brother, Mother Foster.
Said Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yet I love Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. And I hated Esau and his five sons.
Yeah.
And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness.
I'm going to take that. Go ahead.
4. Whereas Esau and his five sons say.
What they said?
We are in progress.
Yes.
But we return and build the desolate places.
We're at the 14:9-2. They return.
Yes. Thus said Yahweh of old.
What?
They should build.
Yeah, they build it right now, ain't they?
But I will throw down.
So I'm gonna throw what? Hurricane Mary or somebody. Uh-huh. Everybody but Yahweh, huh?
Right.
You call everything you want to call but Yahweh.
Yeah.
But okay, fine. I'm gonna send that over you.
No.
Go ahead.
And they should call them
what?
The border of wickedness.
They can call them the border of wickedness.
And the peoples against whom Yahweh has hated nations forever.
What happened to love? Mm-hmm. So you mean the brother can't? The brother ain't got no love, brother?
What happened
to the love, the brother?
Where's the gospel?
All is on perfect. All is on this meeting. He meet with God. In the middle of the night somewhere, and God told me to tell you this. Come on, man. This man got an indignation with you for how long?
Forever.
And your kids, too.
Yeah.
Is that what we're reading?
That's what we're reading.
Come on, Mother Foster, back to 852. St. John 852, Mother Foster.
St. John chapter 8, verse
22.
Yeah,
it
is. Then said, Esau and his five sons.
Right.
Unto him.
The false Yahda.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's right.
The lying Yahda.
That's right. The lying.
The identity theft people.
Right. We got a whole bunch of them.
The hate.
Identity theft. That's what it is. Then said identity theft. Imposters.
We can read
that. The identity theft are imposters. What the identity theft and apostles?
Yeah,
what do they say?
Now we know.
Now we know.
That thou hast the devil.
Now we know you got, now look, man, he's going to turn on him. He called him a devil. Now y'all call him a devil. This is an idiot. Now they going to call him a devil. This is a man made of heaven and earth, and now Esau will call him a devil.
52.
Go ahead.
Abraham is dead.
He's Abraham is dead. That's true.
John
3.
And the seers.
And the seers.
And
the
True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahweh Radio, is now on air. I'll be your host for the last hour of power. My name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. Well, we're doing a series called Rebuilding the Number of the B666 on a position part number 82. And one of the young lions that finally came to the stage and come on. So what we do, we'll see what gets them going on for the last hour. One thing about those seers, he's ready to go all the time. So let's see if the young lion, is he coming on peacefully to put the last hour in, and then we ain't got to be walked down through memory lane and put a tape on. Hey, young lion, are you coming peaceful? Micaiah, Israel, see you right here. Yahweh be with you.
Yahweh bless you there. Seer Israel. Oh, see, Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, there. Young lion, we'll see if they put a tape on because, I don't know. Nobody want to come in hollering the microphone, so I dropped the tape on, and I came back, and I see the young lions in the room, so I guess we can go live for 1 hour of power. I remember back in the day, always have just 1 hour to do what we got to do. So I'm used to that. So young lion, tell us here and tell the national audience, well, they've been listening to a tape for the last 2 hours. Okay, for the next hour live, and then we'll get some behind that after we hear who carried the broadcast for the next hour live. Come on there, young lion.
All right, here's where C. Roy. Well, we know we live right now on Blog Talk Radio, but we also have a broadcast on our Pal Talk, and we also carrying our broadcast on the Facebook page of Seer Israel. You can look our Facebook page at Seer Israel, and once you type in that name, you'll catch us live or any of the previous broadcasts for our Facebook page of the Seer Israel. And you can tune in. We ask you all to tune in to our live broadcast or anytime we was previously recorded on our YouTube page as well. Our YouTube page name is D-O-T-T-Y, Tribe, Y-H-D-H. Ask you to tune in to that too as well for all those who love the YouTube. Our YouTube page is D-O-T-T-Y, Tribe, Y-H-D-H. We also in progress, once again, setting up the TikTok page and whatever else y'all put on our minds to get going as well. So we know we have the Blog Talk, We have the Pow Talk. We have the YouTube page. And we have the Facebook page. And we're setting up the TikTok page as well. So be prepared for that. And the TikTok name would be the same name as our YouTube page, B-O-T-T-Y, Tribe, Y-H-D-H. Once again, the name of our YouTube page and our TikTok page is exactly the same, B-O-T-T-Y, Tribe, Y-H-D-H. You can catch us there as well. So we ask you all to be big ears and little mouth. If you have any questions or comments, call in to the international phone line at 224-600-5579. Once again, we ask you all to be big ears, a little mouth, write down your notes. And for calling in for questions and comments, call in to the international phone line at 224-600-5579. All right, say Israel C. Roy. If you get this hour power in, say hallelujah.
Yeah, all right. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I'm always happy that you all be able to do Yahweh. And, like I said, again, you know, I look at this thing by being infinite in season, out of season, because I know what's going on. But we left off on some points last night that I want to kind of take a little look at. But let's see how you want to go in this last hour. How about looking at that Luke 12? Verse 12. Look at that verse for a minute, that young line, and see what we can get out of that one verse there. Luke 12, verse 12.
All right. We're going to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
And you got to, and we got to believe that the righteous spirit will take it, and no accident in the Almighty Yahweh, because he does the Isaiah 46:9-11. He got that all written by Isaiah the seer on how he operates, you know, lion. And Isaiah 46:11, you have to pass in order to see how he operates. Come on.
We're going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 9, down to verse number 11. The book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 9 reads, "Remember the former things of old, for I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none like me." Verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I would do all my pleasure." Verse 11. "Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that execute my counsel from a far country. Yes, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it. I will also do it."
What we got to understand that what he have called from the end, from the beginning, and then he also laid a little groundwork down on what people, they will have to escape. And the Second Kings, young line, in Second Kings chapter 30:31. Let's see what it says in Second Kings 30:31.
All right, we're going over to the book of Second Kings, chapter 30, verse 31. We're going over to the book of Second Kings. We're going to chapter 30. We're going to pick it up at verse number 31. The book of Second Kings, chapter 30.
Second Kings, 19.
Is it second?
Yeah, 2 Kings 19. Is it a
2 Kings 19? Hallelujah. Second Kings chapter 19, verse 30 and 31.
Yes, sir.
2 Kings chapter 19, verse 30 and 31 read, "And the remnant that is escaped of the family of Yada Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Verse 31. For out of Yadah Judah shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Yadah Judah, the zeal of Yahweh of hosts shall do this.
So he said a remnant of Judah gonna escape. And so in Eschine prophecy in 18 verse 4, what are you saying? In 18 verse 4, what is you saying there, young lion, in 18 verse 4, Revelation?
Hallelujah. Well, book of Revelation, chapter 18, I'm picking up at verse number 4. The book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse number 4, verse 4 reads, and I heard another voice from heaven, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.
Right. So a remnant is gonna escape, and a remnant is gonna come out of her, and they will not be partaker of her sin. A remnant is gonna come out. So don't look for a ground swelling. A remnant will start getting this thing together, and they're gonna come out of her. And they will not be partakers of our sin. Oh, that's a great thing right there. Now, that was a big word, too. Because you don't want to be partakers of your sins, because when he plagues you, when he plagues you with that sin, it's because he's not happy. When he drops a sin on you, he's not happy. Matter of fact, go to 9th chapter, let me show you something. So when he drops something on you, he's not happy with you. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Let's show you that. So remember, when he drops a sin on you, he's not happy with you. So in Matthew chapter 9, let's see a sin that he'll drop on you. And if you get caught up in sin, it's because he's not happy with you. We're going to Matthew 9, verse 1. Let's see if we do this spirit led on him dealing with a sin. And 9 verse 1 of Matthew. Let's read a little bit there, young man.
The book of Matthew, chapter 9, and we'll pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the lying on a bed, and Yahweh the Son, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you.
Mm-hmm. So if you got a palsy, you know, one of the brothers in the class, he said he didn't want to be a teacher anymore. And then Yahweh plagued him with the palsy as he speaks this day. So that palsy put on him, according to verse 3, is what? What, young man?
Is that sin.
That, and the biblical definition of sin in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 is what? And what is the biblical definition of sin?
We're going to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verse number 3 and verse number 4. The book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 3 and verse number 4, verse 3 reads, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4, whosoever commit sin transgresseth also the law. Sin is the transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to get another case in point. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 and 7. First, we're going to 2 Kings chapter 5,
verse 1, and we're going to read verse 7. Then I'm going to expound on it, and then we're going to read it all the way down. And I'm going to ask the young line of questions, what's going on after he reads it. So while you're reading it, pay attention to what you read. We go on to 2 Kings 5, verse 1 and 7. Then I'm going to expound on 1 and 7 that come out.
All right. We're going to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 1. Then we drop it down, picking up at verse 7. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 1 reads, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon. For he had heard..."
Well, hold on, pray your line. Look at 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Hold on, young man. Take a deep breath and we'll see it get in there. And let him get his saying in there. Then get at it. Now, we're looking at 2 Kings 5, verse 1. And just take a deep breath until we'll see it get it in. And then we'll skip down to verse 7. Let's try it again there. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 7. Come on.
2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 and verse number 7. Verse 1 reads, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Assyria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Yahweh had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." Verse number 7.
He was a what? Hold on, y'all. Yeah. But he was a what?
A leper.
Okay, now, we'll skip down to verse 7, and we'll get the biblical definition of what a leper means in verse 7.
Verse 7 reads, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7. "And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I Yahweh to kill and to make alive, that this man do send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me."
Okay, good. So now the biblical definition of a leper, what is the biblical definition of leper according to 5:1, and the answer is in 5:7. So when I see the word leopard in the Bible, I know the biblical definition is in verse 7. And what is that? And what is it, young lion, in verse 7?
You saying verse number 7?
Yeah, according to what is the biblical definition of a leopard in verse number 7, what is the biblical definition according to verse 7? Need one word. What is the biblical definition of a leopard? In verse 7, one word. What is it? According to verse 7.
I see the word quarrel.
According to verse 7, what is the biblical definition of a leper? According to verse 7.
Oh, leprosy.
Leprosy. Okay. There you go. Remember, up and coming teachers got to know how to soundly take care of his business, so it ain't no accident. This is the way it is. So now you see the word leper, but the biblical definition of it is leprosy. A person got a leper, that means the biblical definition is leprosy, right?
Hallelujah. Well,
According to what verse?
According to verse 1 and verse number 7.
According to verse 7, a leper means leprosy. Okay, good. So now we got that frame of mind and on the picture. Now, let's go to verse 8. Let's read all the way down, and let's find out what's going on with this leper, which the biblical definition is leprosy. Now, we're going to read verse 8, and I want you to pay attention to what you read, because I'm going to ask you something a little later on. Come on.
Verse number 8, verse 8 reads, And it was so, when Elisha, the man of Yahweh, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore has you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a seer in Israel." Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean." Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away.
Let's talk about verse 10 for a minute. Let's talk about, now we got the word leper, which means leprosy, and now we find out when you have that, you are considered what? According to verse 10.
Well, he says, bless you.
Hold on, young man. Still getting thoughts out. According to verse 10. Now, don't you take notes, because we'll come again. And then one day, you're going to be on the clock, and you got to wheel it out the way it's brought to you. So now we found out, verse 1, the word is a mighty man, big dignitary, he had leper. Then we trace the word back to verse 10, and I mean 7, we found out the word leper means leprosy. Now we found out, if you have leprosy, according to verse 10, you are what? According to what the seer said,
you will be something
now.
Right.
And you'll be what?
He says, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean, to make him unclean.
So leper and leprosy means, according to verse 10, what?
You would be unclean.
So if you are leper, and leper means leprosy, you are what? According to verse 10?
According to verse 10, it says, flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean, which makes leper, or which means leprosy, means you should be, I mean, means you are unclean.
So instead of reading the whole verse, leprosy means you are what? Unclean. That what it means, right? That's when you take a knife, short knife, and you just go right to the jugular vein and get it over with. Right? You're unclean. That what it means. Leprosy, according to verse 7, according to verse 10, the seer says, basically, you are unclean. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
You work with me online. So,
hallelujah.
And how are you supposed to respond in Leviticus 13 when this is on you? So how are you supposed to respond in 13 chapter verse 44 and 45 of Leviticus? So leprosy means that you're unclean. So how are you supposed to respond when you come around an Israelite descendant, according to 13:44 of Leviticus? How are you supposed to respond there, according to the Bible?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 13, picking up at verse number 44. 44 reads, "He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. Plague is in his head."
45.
"And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean."
Oh, so that There go your precept. So if you're a leper, leprosy means you're unclean. And when you come around, it's like the scent. You're supposed to immediately cry out, saying what?
Unclean, unclean.
Because Yahweh have dropped a sin on you. It's like palsy. That means somebody have dropped a sin on you. So we found out left palsy is a sin dropped on you if you're thumbing all around. Leprosy, that's a sin dropped on you. That's a sin dropped on you. And you're supposed to say you're unclean, right?
Hallelujah.
Right? Let's go to verse
11. Hallelujah.
So is we reading book, young lion? Is we reading book?
Hallelujah.
All right, let's read verse 11 now. All right, I would be a great note taker. Verse 11.
The book is 2 Kings, chapter 5, picking up at verse number 11. Number 11, verse 11 reads, "But Naaman was wroth and rent away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the YHWH Yahweh, his Yahweh, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Verse 12, "Are not Abner and Pharpar of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Verse 13.
So again, verse 12, he admits that him having leprosy, that makes him what again, according to verse number 11 again? What it makes him? He admitted out of his own mouth, he's what?
Unclean.
Unclean. So there is out of his own mouth. When he seen he had see on him, he knew he was unclean. Is that right, young man?
Hallelujah. Well,
I read a little bit more.
All right. Picking up at verse number 13. 13 reads, "And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the seer had bid you do some great thing, wouldn't you not have done it? How much rather than when he said to you, Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of Yahweh, of the man of Yahweh. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Verse 15. "And he returned to the man of Yahweh, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no Yahweh in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray you, take a blessing of your servant." Verse 16. "But he said, As the Yahweh lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused." Verse 17. "And Naaman said, Should there not then, I pray you, be given to your servant 2 mules burden of earth? For your servant will enhance offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrificing to false Yahuwahs, but unto the Yahuwah, saying, The Yahuwah pardon your servant, that when my master go into the temple of Ramon to worship there, he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself, in the temple of Ramon. When I bow down myself in the temple of Ramon, the Yahweh pardon your servant in this thing." Verse 19. "And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way." Verse 20. "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of Yahweh said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receiving at his hand that which he bought. But if the Yahweh liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." Verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lightened down from the chariot to meet him and said, "It's all well." Verse 22. He said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the elders. Give them, I pray you, a talent of silver and two changes of garment." Verse 23.
Hold on, you're right. He said, in verse 22, is he correct? What he said in verse 22, is this correct? What he's saying in verse 22?
He's talking about what he asking him about? No, it's
read
not correct. He lying.
Is he correct? Read verse 22 and tell me, is he correct what he just said? Read
verse 22. He said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the elders. Give them, I pray you, a talent of silver and two changes of garment."
So, in verse 22, is he correct for what he's saying?
No, he's not correct.
What do you mean by no, he's not correct? What do you mean? So what is he doing? What is he doing in verse 22?
He's lying.
He's lying. Exactly. You're lying, he's lying. So he's lying, ain't he? So
yeah,
what
he's lying.
He doing, lying. And remember what the guy did in the fifth chapter. We ain't going to read Acts. He says about, then the woman said the same thing. She lied. And what happened to them? They end up. What happened by lying?
The men's spirit killed them. They dropped dead.
Because they done what?
They lied.
They lied. So what is Naaman? What is Elisha, Gehazi, the servant of the man of Yahweh? What's he doing in verse 22?
He's lying.
He's lying. That's what he's doing, mm-hmm. right?
Now remember, 23. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 23 reads, and Naaman said, 2 talents, and he urged him, and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags, with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. 24. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hands and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. Verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Where come you, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant went nowhere." 26.
What is he doing now in verse 25?
He's lying.
He's lying again. So that's 2 lies mm-hmm. on a man.
26. And he said unto him, "Went not my mind with you? When the man turns again from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep, and oxen, and manservants, and maidservants?" Verse 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto you, and unto your seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leopard as white as snow.
So, the seer, was he happy with Hazi? Was he happy with him?
No, he was not.
So he was not happy with him, and he gonna put the worst thing that'll get his attention. And what did he do to him? To, you know, what power did he have, and what did he put on his servant for lying to him twice? Right. What did he do to his servant in verse 20? And everything come out of his loins from that point on. What did he do?
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 27 reads, "The leprosy thereof, for of Naaman, shall cleave unto you and unto your seed forever."
And
he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow.
So leprosy and leprosy mean you're unclean, but what color is it? So now we're going to find out that you got leprosy on you. You are unclean, but the color depicted in the Bible is turning you from a melanated person to what color?
White as snow.
Is that what you read?
Hallelujah. All
right, let's go to Numbers chapter 12 and look at 9 through 15. Numbers chapter 12, verse 9 through 15.
We're going to the book of Numbers. We're going to chapter 12. We're going to pick it up at verse 9 down to verse number 15. The book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 9 down to 15. Verse 9 reads, "And the anger of Yahuwah was kindled against them, and he departed." Verse 10. "And the cloud departed from off the temple. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Aaron the seer looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." Verse number 11. "And Aaron the seer said unto Moses, Alas, my Yahuwah, I beseech you, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned." Verse 12. "Let her not be."
Let's look at verse 11 again. So now we'll pick up another word, the same word we picked up in Matthew chapter 9, 1, 2, and 3, when you got the palsy falling all over yourself, that means you are sinning against the Almighty One. That's why God is sinning on you, right? So now we find out now. Is that we find out? Can I get a hallelujah on that?
Hallelujah.
So when we find out someone has leprosy, palsies and falling all over the place, it's because they have done what? According to Matthew 11, verse 3. According to Matthew 9, verse 3, they have done what?
Sin.
So now we're going to find out now that this leprosy, unclean, turned white, and this going on happened to these Israelites because one of the Israelites have done what according to 9, 12 verse 11, because an Israelite have done what according to 12 verse 11? Whatever the Israelite have did?
Sin.
So we find out that when an Israelite got leprosy on him, he's unclean, been turned white. It's because he have done what?
Sin.
Go ahead and read. Verse
12. Verse 12. The book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh..."
But hold on. And the appearance of one that have this sin on them, when you look at them, they look like they are what?
As one dead.
As one, no, come back a little bit before dead.
Verse 12, let her not be as one dead.
So that appearance, when you do it biblically, looking white, according to the people of the Bible, they look at you as what kind of way, according to that verse of them?
Verse 12, let her not be as one dead.
Now you can explain what it means.
Of whom the flesh is half consumed when he coming out of his mother's womb.
Oh, right. So now we got more of a clear picture of this. So in Isaiah 29:16, what really happened, young man? What really happened in Isaiah 29:16?
Going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse number 16. The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 16. The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, surely your turning of things upside down be esteemed as the potter's clay.
Stop right there. So this thing have been, so the information of the Bible information pertaining to leper, leprosy, unclean, turn you white, you understand? This thing have been done. What don't really happen in modern day teaching today? According to modern day teaching today, according to 29:16, what don't really happen there, young man? According to 29:16.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down.
This thing has been turned upside down. And see what the Israelites do today? They right now, they want to do everything they can to bleach, do everything, selling souls to get closer to white as possible. So we've been teaching them, have taught them, they have done what again according to 29:16?
Turning up 16. Surely your turning of things upside down.
This thing has been turned upside down. That's why we got a lot of work to do. This thing has been turned upside down. And that's why the other races that's of Israelite descent look at us different, and we don't understand that really you're looking at us different because you've been taught wrong. Now everybody thinks they better than us because they more closer to looking like somebody else. Is that right, young man?
Hallelujah.
And then the one that look like the dirt from the ground, he been ridiculed, and he don't know how to get out money. See?
Mm-hmm.
So you see what we was gathering out of this? Now come back to verse 12 out of verse 15 now. So now we know the appearance of it. According to the children of Israel, the seer and the elder say, if you got this white-looking skin on you, we're going to find out what kind of white he's talking about shortly. In the eyes of an Israelite from biblical times, it was a person, you look like you dead, it looked like you're half consumed. That's what it looked like according to a biblical Israelite from the time of 96 A.D. back to 4004. Anybody in the Bible sees you looking like this, they looked at you as unclean, with that white skin on you, looking like you dead and your flesh is half consumed. Is that correct?
Hallelujah.
All right, good. Verse 13.
The book of Numbers. And Moses cried unto the Yahuwah, saying, heal her now, O Yahuwah, I beseech you. Verse 14. Well, and why is W.H.
Well, in verse 13, now another word come in. They want to be unclean. They want to be cleaned up. But in other words, they want to be what? A child, a total child of Israel. According to verse 13, what? Number one word that Moses said he will Yahweh to do for them is to do what? For her, to do what? One word.
Heal her.
To heal her. You see that? So looking white, nobody in the Bible wants to look white. Moses said, Yahweh, heal her. Heal her from what? Looking white. Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah.
Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah.
So Moses wants her to be healed from looking white. Now Yahweh gonna respond to Moses about what he think about. Because in verse 9 he was mad, so he left out mad. He was mad. So now he's been explained to Moses according to 14 and 15. What he say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 14, verse 15, verse 14 reads, and the Yahweh said unto Moses, if her father had but should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received in again. Verse 15.
Yep.
15 reads, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again.
So that was his completion. So she had to complete her punishment for what she done, spoken against Moses. But that was a sin by her spoken against Moses. So Yahweh cleansed her with leprosy, turned her white, had her looking like Marilyn Monroe. So he turned her, looked white, and Moses cried to Yahweh, the 86-year-old sister, I don't want to look like Marilyn Monroe. Heal her from that sin she did. See, so now in the Bible, the children of Israel, according to Scripture, wanted nothing to look like Marilyn Monroe. Is that what we're reading there, young man?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Verse 11 to 13. We're going to Luke. See, we don't have to teach this because the people in the land say they're you. But how could they be? The picture that we look at in all the churches and synagogues, it looked like this right here. And we know if it looked like this, this is unclean to an Israelite. Is that right? All the in our minds. These pictures we see of Caesar Borgia, and we see all these people that's been teaching us the Bible. They don't look like the Bible description. They look like this right here. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
So Luke chapter 5, 11 down to verse 13. Luke chapter 5, verse 11 through 13.
The book of Luke. Chapter 5, verse 11 down to verse number 13, verse 11 reads, and when they had bought their ship to land, they forsook all, followed him. Verse 12, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Yahweh the Son, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Yahweh, if you will, you can make me clean. Verse 13. And he put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will. Be you clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him.
So what did this
Israelite man want to be?
Clean.
That means somebody has done what to him according to Matthew 9. Somebody was that had the power. What did they do to him according to Matthew 9, verse 3? They have put what on him?
Let me go read the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse number 3. The book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 3 reads, "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes."
What'd you read? Did you read 9, verse 3?
Well, make that verse number 2. The book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 2 reads, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Yahuwah the Son, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you."
Your what?
Your sins be forgiven you.
Somebody has the power to put sin on this man, turn this man from melanated leprosy, white as snow, and he was unclean. And when he seen Yahuwah the Son, he want that thing reversed off of him. He didn't want to look like John Wayne or Milton Monroe. He just want to be clean. He just want his melanated darkness color back to him so he can be clean. Is that right?
Hallelujah, Qua.
Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah, Qua.
Okay, good. Let's find out what kind of wife was this that they was didn't want to be. Let's go to Isaiah 29, verse 22. What kind of wife is they talking about? We talking drywall wife? Let's find out what kind of wife are we talking about in Isaiah 29, 22.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, we're going to pick it up at verse number 22. The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 22 reads, "Therefore, thus says the Yahuwah, who redeemed Abraham concerning the family of Israel, Israel should not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale."
Oh. So now we find out now that this whiteness is a pale looking, it's a pale looking type of whiteness. So now we find out it's a pale looking white. Now let's find out a little bit more about this white. So it's not drywall white. It's pale looking white. So now we're going to Genesis 25, verse 23 down to verse 26. John, tie it all in. So we do get to Hosea 7:1. We have a better, clear understanding what don't happen here. We're going to where we're going now?
The book of Genesis, chapter
25, verse 23 down to verse 26. Now we try to find out what kind. Now we know they didn't want to be white, children of Israel. They didn't want to be white. So we found they didn't want to be pale white. And we need another word to go with it. We're going to Genesis 25, 23, and 26. We need another word. We got to tie it all in. We got to break down the definition of what white are they talking about. If they're talking about white, according to the Bible, is a pureness. So we're going to find out what kind of white we're talking about by going to Genesis 25, 23, on verse 26.
The book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 23, down to verse number 26. Book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 23 reads, "And the Yahuwah said unto her, Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people should be separated from your bowels. And the one people should be stronger than the other people. Elders shall serve the younger." 24. "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." 25. And the first came out red all over, like in hairy garments. And they called his name Esau.
26.
Verse 26. And after that, Saul's heel. And his name was called, and his name was called Jacob. And in his, his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him, them.
Well, the reason why was no conversation about what Jacob looked like, he looked like everybody else. But it was specific target on Esau because Esau came out red, but what kind of red, according to 29:22, what kind of red was he?
Pale red.
Pale red. So that's the whiteness they talk about in the Bible, pale red whiteness. So the whiteness they talk about in the Bible is pale red. And the only one fit that description is Esau and his five sons. Pale red. That is the whiteness that the children of Israel did not want to look like, were pale red.
Hallelujah.
Not like five walls. So now we're going to 7 verse 1. And so now young lions can be able to break down 7:1 with no problem in Hosea 7:1. He should be not be able to read it, but he should be able to expound on what is going on in Hosea 7 verse 1. He should be able to expound on it with no problem after he reads 7 verse 1 Hosea.
The book of Hosea. We're going to the book of Hosea, chapter 7. We'll pick it up. We read verse number 1. The book of Hosea, chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, when I would Israel, the 10 northern tribes, then the sin of Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes, was discovered. And the wickedness of Samaria, the 10 northern tribes, for they commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers for it without.
So what are they talking about? Read verse, let's see what was the problem in 8 verse number 12. Then come back and break down what's going on so far. 8:12. What's really going on in 8 verse 12?
All right. The book of Hosea, chapter 8. Pick it up at verse number 12. If that's what we want, 8:12?
Yes, sir.
All right. The book of Hosea, chapter 8, verse 12 reads, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing.
So what did Ephraim, the leader of the 12 tribes of Israel, what did he break that made Yahweh say he would heal them? What did he break? So by him breaking the law, what did Yahweh put on him according to 4 verse 7? What did Yahweh put on him for breaking the law? And so now we understand what he put on him for breaking the law. Let's see what he's saying. And I need the verse where it tells me what did he put on him for breaking the law. What we need, young line? 7 verse 8.
All right, we're going to the book of
Esma.
We're going to the book of Hosea, chapter 7. We're going to pick it up at verse number 8. Book of Hosea, chapter 7, verse number 8, verse 8 reads, Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, he had mixed himself among the people. Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, is a cake.
So when the cake not turned, it looked more paler because that vanilla flavor and all that stuff on it, it looked more, you know, paleness, right? So you got to, It ain't got no vine on it, right?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So, and then what did Yahweh say in 4 verse 7 behind that?
Hallelujah, Yahweh. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse number 7. The book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse number 17. Verse 17 reads, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone.
Now, who is Ephraim on your 12 tribe chart today? Who is Ephraim? Who is the Nelson? And who is Gad? And who is Issachar on your 12 chart? And we'll leave it like that. It's time what people we talking about.
All right. We're going to the
12
tribes of Israel. We have Ephraim, who is today commonly known as Polluted Word Puerto Rico.
Okay.
We have Manasseh, today commonly known as the Polluted Word Cuban.
Uh-huh.
We have Issachar, today commonly known today as the Polluted Word Mexican. And we have Gad, today commonly known as the Polluted Word North American Indian and Canadian.
Okay. So you say you got to leave them alone until when? Go to Jeremiah 31, 5 and 6, then you can close out with it. Jeremiah 31, 5 and 6. And then we'll get back on tomorrow at 7:30. Jeremiah 31, 5 and 6.
We're going to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. We're going to read verse 5 and verse number 6. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 5, verse 6, verse 5 reads, You shall yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria, the 10 northern tribes of Israel. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. Verse 6, For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon Mount Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, shall cry, Arise you, and let us, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, go up to Yadad Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, unto the Yahweh, our Yahweh.
So we supposed to leave them alone until they finally get their heads straightened up and come to us, then we straighten them out. But until that time, we supposed to leave them alone. Until they cry and come looking for the one that fit the scripture of the Bible. Is that right, young man?
Hallelujah, boy.
And on that note, closing statement and young line, we'll check everybody again tomorrow at 7:30. Is all yours for the close. Come up.
All right. Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity of life to know his wonderful name and to introduce me to meet his servant, the seer Israel of Seed Roy. Bless me to be able to teach my family the word of Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, for the elders, the mothers, all the teachers, and the six anointed camps, all the brothers and sisters in the six anointed camps, and all for bringing all the 12 tribes of Israel under the leadership of Yadad Judah, the choosing of one man, the seer Israel, Seed Roy, to lead this thing back to Yahweh. I want to read the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Pick it up at just verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their honor into shame. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
There it is. That's why we have to learn this Bible. Understand one thing. All of the ones that have that plague on them of leprosy looking more pale red is because Yahweh have somewhere in your family gene pool have put that sin on you. So that look is a sin look. That
Jennifer Lopez, that's a sin look. That's nothing that you're supposed to emulate if you know who you really are, children of Israel. And they look down on you today because of your deep, dark, brownish color. But that's why you got to know the Bible and show this thing and turn upside down. Nobody of the children of Israel wants to be looking like the blood showed through their skin. Not one. They cried not to look like that. And now we want to look like that every chance we get. So that's why it's got to be taught. But it got to be taught by the remnant that escaped from the pollution of the world called Judah, Yahdah Judah. And all the one can teach this is the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. That's why we must come together as one, O nation not desire, and learn this word. And let all other tribes know that plague can remain on you until you return back to Judah, the lead tribe. That's the way it is. And remember, tomorrow night, we'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow, because that is not what they look like up to 96 AD. They did not have the pale redness skin looking. It was all shades of brown. Till Christopher Columbus and another guy named Hernán Cortés now. That's when he got over to the northern kingdom called America and taking you back to places of their own and mixed with you, and that's why you got that pale looking red skin. But that's really a curse from Yahweh on you for your own disobedience. See? That's a curse from Yahweh on you. From your own disobedience for breaking the law. See? That would happen. Now, once you come back to Judah, they will put you back in order. And Yahweh will return you back to the way your forefathers looked according to the Bible. Brownness, not a pale red looking. That pale red is not a blessing. It's a sin, it's a curse from Yahweh. Jennifer Lopez, and those that try to Sammy Sosa their skin. The book been turned side down. We'll catch you all tomorrow at 7:30. So young line, anything you want to say, want to say some more, it's all you on the sea of through talking until 7:30 tomorrow. Yahweh be with y'all. Back to the young line. Brother Micaiah Israel, see you right.